Take your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14. Thank you, Brother Joe. Always a joy to be in this conference and always a joy to be at Pathway Baptist Church. Good to be back with Brother Chris and Brother Terry in the meeting this morning. Trust the Lord will bless as we gather around the Word of the Lord. Mark 14, are you there? Say amen.
Amen.
If you want to stand, you stand. We'll read together beginning in verse number 1. The Bible said, after 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. And the chief priest and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, he set at meat. There came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, a spikenard, very precious. She brake the box and poured it on his head. There were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For you have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good. But me, ye have not always. Notice verse number 8. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. I want to call your attention back to verse number 8 this morning. And I want to take that one phrase found at the beginning of verse number 8. And preach from that for just a moment or two this morning. She hath done what she could.
Amen.
You may be seated. Let me, by way of introduction, notice two or three things about the text today, and then I'll get into the message and be finished. First of all, by introduction, I want you to look back at verse number 3. And notice with me, the Bible tells us the place they were assembled. The place they were assembled. The Bible says that they are in Bethany, which is about a mile and a half to 2 miles from Jerusalem. It is the beginning of the Passion Week. Jesus is going to be crucified on Friday. And in this text, the Bible says that they have gathered in the house of Simon the leper. And I want you to note that. It did not just say in the house of Simon, but it said in the house of Simon the leper.
Amen.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
You say, Brother Dave, I thought if folks were lepers, that they had to isolate themselves from society. I thought if folks were lepers, preacher, that they had to cry unclean, unclean, if somebody came near them.
Right.
And you are thinking exactly right.
Sure.
But here's the fact. Simon is no longer a leper.
Yeah.
Simon has had a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And may I say it this way? Simon's life has been transformed by the touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they have assembled in his house in Bethany for this supper. John said it this way in John chapter number 12. They had made him a supper.
Yeah.
So secondly, not only the place they are assembled, but secondly, I want to notice the purpose for which they associated. You say, preacher, who's there? Well, the Bible tells us there's Jesus, his disciples, there's Mary, there's Martha, there's Lazarus, and there's Simon the leper. We know there's at least 17 people that are in the house of Simon the leper. And the Bible tells us why they have assembled together in his house. They are there to make him a supper. They're there to celebrate. They're there to honor. They're there to praise. They're there to extol the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
You say, Brother Dave, why? Because a few days earlier,
yeah,
Jesus had resurrected Lazarus from the dead. And they are there to celebrate the fact of that miracle.
Yeah.
But more than just the miracle, they are there to celebrate the miracle worker,
yeah,
the Lord Jesus,
yeah,
Christ. And just a side note here, should that not be what we do when we gather together in the house of the Lord?
Yeah.
Should not we come to the house of the Lord to celebrate him?
Yeah.
Should not we come to the house of the Lord to exalt him? Should not we come to the house of the Lord to lift him up? Did not Jesus say, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me? I'm telling you, it tells us again that when we come together in the house of the Lord, we ought to come to lift him up and exalt his name. That is the purpose for which they associated. But thirdly, notice this by introduction. Only the place where they assembled, the purpose for which they associated, but the precept that merits our attention. In that crowd is Mary of Bethany. Every time you find Mary, Luke 10, John 11, John 12, every time you find Mary, you find her in the same position. She is at the feet of Jesus.
Amen.
And the Bible says that Mary takes this expensive vial,
right,
this alabaster box, a spikenard, and she breaks the box and she pours it out upon the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It was nard. It was very expensive. It was worth about 300 denarii or 300 pence. That's equivalent to the wages of 1 year's labor in those days. Mary takes this vial and she pours it out and anoints the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice that Mary shows her love and her devotion and her allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, Mary's love and devotion to Jesus was greater, number one, than the container.
Yeah.
That alabaster box was a precious container. But yet she breaks it. And her love to Jesus is greater than the container. Number two, her love for Jesus is greater than the cost. I mean, 300 denarii or pence, that was a lot of money in those days. That was equivalent to a year's wages. Yet the Bible said that she poured it all, A-L-L, all out on Jesus. And her devotion to Jesus was greater than the cost. But number three, her devotion to Jesus was greater than the criticism. It was unusual,
right,
for Jewish women to take the center stage.
Yeah.
It was unusual for Mary to do what she did, because the Bible says that after she anointed him, that she took her hair down and she wiped his feet with her hair. That was uncalled of in public for a Jewish lady to take her hair down. You remember what Paul said about that? Paul said, a woman's hair is her what? Glory.
Yep.
And Mary takes her glory and wipes the feet of the glorious one because of her love and devotion for the Lord Jesus.
Yep. Praise the Lord.
Now, in this setting, I want to give you the thoughts. Number one, I want you to notice, first of all, in our text, there is the critics that are present. The critics that are present. The Bible said, and there were some that had indignation. Boy, that's a strong word. You say, what's that word mean, Pastor David? Here's what it means. Strong displeasure. They thought it was offensive.
Hello.
Unjust. Insulting. Mary's wonderful act of devotion and sacrifice to the Lord Jesus was not gladly received by everybody in that room. There were those that were critical of what she had done. We know the Bible tells us in other accounts of this story that one of them was Judas. Oh, Judas spoke up and he said, why, that's a waste. That could have been sold and that money could have been given to the poor. But notice something else about this text. The others joined in with Judas. And the Bible, I'm going to preach it a bit right here now. And the Bible said that they murmured against her.
Yep.
Have you ever seen in the church, it takes one critic to get something started, and then about 8 or 10 folks want to jump on the wagon with them, and they want to cause a controversy.
Amen.
Amen. So here's the critics that are present. They're criticizing Mary. They're murmuring against her because of this extravagant act of love, this extravagant act of devotion. They called it a waste. Don't miss that. They called it a waste. But secondly, I want you to notice the commendation that is proclaimed. Jesus is listening as they are murmuring against Mary. I just don't like that word murmur. Do you? It means they're speaking under their breath. That kind of stuff. Jesus is listening. And Jesus says to this group, let her alone. I just have to believe that he said that with authority. I just have to believe that he said that with power. Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. Jesus said, boys, what you're having great indignation about, what you're murmuring about, what you're saying was a waste, I want you to know, I think it's wonderful. I think it's good. Amen. And may I say this? Oftentimes we're too concerned about what others think about what we do.
We're too concerned about gaining the approval of our brethren or those around us. But I want to tell you something, honey. You better not be so much worried about what others are saying about what you're doing. But you better be worried about what the Master is saying about what you're doing. Because sometimes the brethren will say to you, it's a waste. But Jesus will say, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Amen. Amen. We getting warmed up now. Amen. She hath done what she could. What a word. This is not Mary speaking of herself. This is not somebody speaking of Mary. But this is the words of the lovely Lord Jesus, saying, she hath done what she could. Now here's what I want to preach about. I want to lay those words on our hearts this morning. She hath done what she could. Now, should not that be the desire of our hearts today? To have that kind of word spoke about us from the lips of the lovely Lord Jesus. That kind of commendation come from the Lord. For the Lord to say about us this morning, they've done what they could. They've wrought a good work on me. I want to make three simple statements this morning around that phrase. She hath done what she could. Now, they're not deep theologically. They're not hard to understand. It doesn't take a college degree to get the message today. Just simple. Simple truths. And I believe today that if we'll put these principles to work in our lives as believers, that we too can receive the same commendation that Mary received from the Lord Jesus. You say, Pastor David, what are they? What are they? Well, I'm going to tell you what they are. And I want to say, first of all, that now is the time. Now is the time, number one, to do what you can. To do what you can. That's what Jesus said to Mary. She hath done what she could. She didn't do what she couldn't do. And too many of us are too consumed and focused about what we can't do that we're not doing what we can do. Jesus said, she's done what she could. She just done what she could do. And that's what the Lord asks of you. And that's what the Lord asks of me. Just do what you can do. Now I want to tell you, most of our churches, Brother Terry, Brother Chris, would have a revival if folks would just do what they can do. Just do what they can do. And if there's ever been a time that God's men needed to do what they can do, it's now. Let me say it again. He's not asking you to do what you can't do. He's just asking you to do what you can do. Just do what you can. She hath done what she could. You say, preacher, but I can't do much. Will you let the Lord be the judge of that? You let God measure that.
Right.
Are you listening? You say, what constitutes good service? Doing what you can.
Yeah.
What makes a good Sunday school teacher, preacher? Doing what you can.
Yeah.
What makes a good preacher? Doing what you can. What makes a good church member? Doing what you can.
Right.
What makes a good deacon? Doing what you can.
Right.
Jesus says she just done what she could.
Yeah,
what she could. That's what pleased the Lord. You got to do what you can with that opportunity that God's placed within your hands. Do it with the expectation that God will use it. Do what you can. That's what God expects from us. Just do what you can. You say, but I'm getting older, preacher. Just do what you can. You say, Brother Dave, I don't know a lot about this thing. Just do what you can.
Right.
Because here's the truth. Little is much when God is in it.
Amen.
Amen.
Come on, preacher.
You see, folks didn't think it was much when David went down to that brook and grabbed them 5 stones that day and had that slingshot by his side and went out there in the valley to meet the Philistine giant. Somebody probably said, that ain't much. That ain't much. But I'll tell you what it was. He was doing what he could. And they probably thought it wasn't much when that widow lady went to that barrel and got that little bit of meal and that little cruise of oil and make the larger cake. Somebody said, that ain't much, but it sustained them for many days.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, if you just do what you could, God would bless it. When did Philip thought it wasn't much when that little boy come by the seaside that day with them 5 little biscuits, 2 little fishes? What did old Philip have said, Lord, but what's that among so many? And Jesus took them and fed a multitude. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying now's the time. Just do what you can. Do what you can. Number 2. Not only do what you can, but number 2, now's the time to do all you can. All you can. Jesus said, she done what she could. The implication is that she not only done what she could, but she done all she could.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. She gave her all.
Usually, when somebody was anointed in Bible days, it was just a few drops. But Mary didn't break the seal off that bottle and pour out just a few drops. Mary broke the alabaster bottle and poured every bit. That 1 pound of ointment out on Jesus. She not only did what she could, but she did all she could. Let me ask you. How many drops have you got left in your bottle this morning?
Amen.
You've done a little bit.
Come on.
But you've not done
all
you could.
Amen.
Amen. She not only done what she could. She did all she could. She poured every bit of it out on Jesus. So much, Brother James, that it run down his head, down his body, till it got to his feet. And she let her hair down and began to wipe his feet with her hair. Listen, fellas, now's the time. The time is at hand.
Yep.
Do what you can.
You're right.
Do all you can.
Yep.
Don't be satisfied with just a little.
Come on.
Give him all you got.
Yep.
Do all you can.
Yep.
Pour out the bottle. I mean every drop. Put it on him. Because he's worthy of us giving it all. Just simple truth.
Yeah.
Not hard to understand.
No.
She done what she could.
Yeah.
She done all she could. And you know what it was that motivated her to do what she could and all that she could? Her love. Appreciation,
yeah.
Gratefulness,
oh, yeah.
Devotion,
oh, yeah.
To Jesus.
Amen.
You say, Pastor David, should that be enough? What else you think? What else you need?
Yeah,
come on, bro.
That's right.
Come That's
on.
Good.
Come on.
Come on.
Yeah.
What else ought to motivate us?
Amen.
Mary leaves no doubt to the fact that she believed Jesus was worthy of her best. Are you listening? And I don't believe it would take any of us very long in this room that's saved to find a degree of gratitude in our heart for everything that God has done for us. The truth of the matter is that he's been lots better to us than we've been to him. What's he done for you? Who is he to you? I can't speak for you, but I can tell you what he is to me. I want you to know that he's the Alpha. He's the Omega.
Amen.
He's all I need.
Yep.
He's the bread of life.
Yep.
And he's the best thing that ever happened to me.
Right.
He's the chief cornerstone. He's my constant companion. He's the desire of the nations and the dearest friend I've ever had. He's from everlasting to everlasting. He's my everything. He's a faithful and true witness. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's the great high priest. He's so good to me. He's the heir of all things, and he's the hope of glory. He's immeasurable, impeccable, infinite, indescribable, incomparable. He is the intercessor to my Father. I'm telling you, there is reason this morning for me not only to do what I can, but to do all I can.
Come on,
bro. Amen. The time's at hand.
Yep.
He's Jesus. He's just what I need him to be.
Right.
He's the King of Kings and He's kind. He's the Lily of the Valley. He's my Lord. He's merciful. He's mighty. He's the Messiah and He's mine. Hallelujah. He's omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, and the object of my love. He's precious. He has all power. He's our propitiation, our priest, our prophet, our Passover. He prays for me.
Yeah.
Are you listening? He quickens, and He quenches the thirst of our soul. He's the rose of Sharon and the restorer of my soul. He's the spotless, sinless Lamb of God, and He supplies our needs. He's the theme of the Bible. He took my sins away, and He tells me I'm His own. He's the unchanging, unfailing, unequaled, uplifting, undefiled, understanding, undertaken, undefeated, unending Son of God, and I am under His
way.
Yeah. Amen. He's victorious. The very present help in the time of need. The word of God is He, and He's wonderful to me. He's the zeal of the Lord. Exactly what we need. And one day He'll zoom us to glory. If He's been good to you, let Him know it this morning. He's been good to me. So I'm saying today, do what you can. Do all you can. And here's the last truth. Now's the time to do it now. Do it now. Jesus said, she's done what she could. She done all she could.
Come on.
But the Bible said, what you boys in this room didn't understand.
He did.
But Mary did.
Yes, sir.
She's anointing my body for the burial.
Amen.
You say, Pastor, what's that mean? It means that Mary seized the opportunity that was before her. She knew Jesus was headed to Calvary to die. And Mary did not know if after His death she would have an opportunity to anoint His body. You remember that first Easter morning? Those ladies got up early to go down to the tomb to anoint His body with sweet spices. And their conversation and concern on their journey was, when we get there, who's going to roll the stone away? But when they got there, the stone was rolled away, and Jesus was already gone. And they did not get to fulfill their mission. But Mary, don't miss this.
Yep.
But Mary, because she did what she could, she did all she could, and she did it when she could, when the opportunity was before her, had the privilege to anoint His body for the burial. I'm telling you, we not only need to do what we can, all we can, but we need to do it now.
Amen.
When God puts that opportunity in front of you. You need to step out in obedience and do it now. Not do it next week. Not do it next month. Not do it next year. But do it now. Now is the time to do what you can, all you can, and do it now. Jesus looked at the disciples and said, you boys said that this could have been sold and money given to the poor. And he made this statement. He said, boys, y'all going to have the poor with you always.
Come on.
What do you mean by that, preacher? Was he unconcerned about the plight of the poor? No. He was making a point. He said, you're going to have opportunity to help the poor whenever you choose. They're going to always be here.
That's right.
What you don't understand is Mary had this opportunity right here, right now, to do what she did. And she did it. I'm not going to be around here always. You say, what's he saying? He's saying you better learn to do what you can. Do all you can. And do it now. Do it now. When God puts an opportunity in front of you, you better do it now. Are you hearing me? Let me close with this. Not going to be done. I've been preaching now over 40 years, pastoring, over 40 years. It's a long time to be on the trail. Two-thirds of my life I've spent behind a pulpit, Joe, trying to preach the Word of God. I found something out down the trail these 40 years. I found out that God will never demand more of me than He'll provide.
Amen.
And He'll provide exactly what He demands. So there's no reason this morning for me not to live by these three truths that Mary teaches us. Do what you can. Do all you can. And do it now. And now is the time that we do these things. Father, thank you for your word. Bless these men of God that's going to come behind me. Touch old brother Chris.